What Women Must Know with Sheryl Selman, Mondays at 2 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Everyone, to What Women Must Know, a show about holistic perspectives and solutions for women's health matters. I'm your host, Dr. Sheryl Selman. I'm a naturopathic doctor, author, lecturer. I actually have another radio show on this very network every Sunday at 4 p.m., a call-in show called The Women's Healing Circle, and I am a passionate women's health advocate. So that's why we're doing this show, What Women Must Know. It's a great opportunity for women to have in-depth explorations and discussions into subjects that really every woman must know. And I have a few announcements before we get into a wonderful and really vital topic today. So let me get those announcements out of the way. First of all, for all of you living in the New York, New Jersey metropolitan area, I've got good news. I am coming back to town. I do this twice a year. I lecture at the Natural Gourmet Institute in Manhattan, and I will be there on November 20th. That's the Saturday right before Thanksgiving, and the class is a fantastic three-hour class. Boy, do I cram tons of information and strategies, solutions, addressing all of the women's health issues. In fact, I take a survey of everybody in the class, so I am sure by the time everyone leaves the class, they really have specific strategies to address their needs and questions. Anyway, that's coming up. You can go to the Natural Gourmet Institute website or email them at info@thenaturalgourmetinstitute.com. That's November 20th, 2 to 5 p.m., a great class, lots and lots of wonderful learnings. I also want to remind everyone, if you haven't yet signed up for this fantastic teleseminar series that I helped to co-produce called Turn Back the Clock, How to Rejuvenate Your Hormones, Your Health, and Your Life Naturally. And the great thing about teleseminar series, you can listen live, you can get it on the call, you can ask questions, you can submit questions, you don't even have to call in. There's a link that you can go up and just listen to the event on your computer. And every call is recorded, and it will be sent to you to listen to when it's convenient. I have an amazing series that's going to be going on. This Turn Back the Clock has some of the leading voices in holistic medicine, authors on many of those relevant topics, because here's the most important thing you need to know. No matter what age you are, we now know that you can literally, not figuratively, but literally turn back the clock. You can get younger and healthier as you get older at any age. And I'm very thrilled to be able to be a part of this program. And if you would like to be part of this program, then it's very simple. All you need to do is go to my website, whatwomenmustknow.com. That's whatwomenmustknow.com. And once you get there, not only can you opt into my website and get my newsletters and special reports and have access to ongoing information that I'm providing, but you can also click directly to that link that takes you to the Turn Back the Clock teleseminar series program and sign up there. And once you're signed up, you'll get all the information of the calls. It's every Tuesday, by the way, at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and each presenter will be making special offers. We've got special offers from some of our sponsors, so it's a great deal. You'll be getting a great deal. You'll be getting a great deal on all levels, a great deal of information, a great deal of deals. It's just the best event, and I am excited about it because, you know, Well, we're going to be presenting the kind of information that I've been researching and believe is vital. Much of the information that you've been hearing on this show every week, we're going to have more of it. So come on, jump aboard, turn back the clock. It doesn't matter if you're just tuning into that program. It started last week, but as I said, all the calls are archived, even those of previous speakers. So you can just get it whenever it works. Anyway, I think that's all on my schedule of events to share with you. I want to get on to the rest of our program. We have a great program. Several weeks ago, I don't know, maybe it was a couple of months ago now, I had a fabulous guest on my show, and his name is Jim Paoletti. And Jim actually did the best show that I ever had on my program about the thyroid. He was just absolutely brilliant. It was such a comprehensive program. He was able to really have a clarity about what's going on with our thyroids, what to do about our thyroid challenges. He was just wonderful. And he was so wonderful that I invited him to come back and join us again today, because we're going to be talking all about hormones. We're going to be talking about how you must test hormones, and that is going to be with saliva testing. So he's going to explain saliva testing, how it works, and I have some special questions I want to be asking him on this hormone scene. So it's a great show to be listening to, and let me just take a moment and introduce Jim before I bring him on. Jim Paoletti is the Director of Provider Education for ZRT Laboratories in Beaverton, Oregon. He has over 25 years' experience with bioidentical hormone therapies in clinical practice and retail pharmacy as a pharmacy consultant, educator, and educational program developer. And he's consulted with compounding pharmacists located throughout the U.S. and Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and helps the compounding pharmacists solve the patient's unique medical challenges. So he is just so well experienced and knowledgeable in the field of bioidentical hormones, hormone testing, and lots of other things, and I can't wait to get him sharing with us all of the wonderful knowledge he has. So welcome back to the show, Jim.
Thank you. Thank you for your kind comments.
Oh, it's true. I called you afterwards and I told you I thought you just did such an amazing presentation on the whole thyroid thing. It was just so great to get that kind of information. I learned lots, and I just really appreciate your willingness to share this.
Oh, I appreciate the chance to share. And I don't want to take credit. I think I've been blessed to be exposed to some really intelligent people, and I've been blessed with the ability to communicate the ideas out there to help people. So I feel like I'm just doing my job.
That's great, because I get to be blessed by you and all the people who blessed you, so then I can go and share all this information and just add to the knowledge that I've been gathering. So that's how it goes, isn't it? We're just sharing
mm-hmm.
with each other.
Exactly.
I do want us to talk about hormones. I want to talk about let's talk about the whole hormonal thing and what's going on with hormones. Do you think that we're getting more hormonally out of balance than ever before, or do you think it's always been the case?
No, we are more hormonally out of balance than we were before, and that mainly has to do with our environment and lifestyle choices. We are exposed today environmentally to all kinds of hormonal challenges. Xenoestrogens in our plastic, hormones in our food sources, chemicals, toxins in our pesticides, etc. All those affect our production, metabolism, hormones. And then we have two major hormonal disruptors that we keep adding into our lifestyle big time, and that's insulin resistance and stress. So, yes, today men and women both are much more likely to be hormonally imbalanced than they were half a century ago.
Well, I guess the next question would be, how do we know we're hormonally imbalanced? What are some of those symptoms that indicate that is going on for us? And let's talk about women and men as well.
Well, yes. If you're talking just the sex steroids, and most people are thinking things like estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, your common symptoms in a woman are the typical menopausal symptoms: hot flashes, night sweats, vaginal dryness, irritability, not sleeping, weight gain, etc. In men, they're similar, a little bit different. Men, they also have the weight gain problem. They become more apathetic. They sometimes become depressed. Both sexes will have problems with low libido and sexual performance. There's just a whole laundry list of symptoms. If you want to extend that a little bit further, include insulin resistance and thyroid problems and problems with cortisol, then you're getting into more fatigue, either morning, evening, round the clock. Again, loss of stamina, decreased muscle size, and aches and pains all throughout the body, hair loss, dry skin. All of these things that have typically been associated with the phrase, you're getting older.
Mm-hmm. You know, I like to talk about some of the myths and truths about hormones. What are some of your favorite myths and truths about hormones?
Let's see. The one that gets me the most is, you don't need progesterone, you don't have a uterus.
Right.
Or, yeah, you can never take a hormone, you have a higher risk of breast cancer.
Well, can we go back to that one about you don't need progesterone because you don't have a uterus? I think that's a really important issue for all those women who have hysterectomies. This is a critical thing. And you know what? And you probably see this as well, but when I work with women who've had hysterectomies, their medical doctors never, ever, ever put them on progesterone if they are also taking estrogen.
Rarely do they, yes. Well, the situation is this. That statement that is taught in medical schools today, that a woman doesn't need progesterone, she doesn't have a uterus, there is no scientific evidence to support that statement whatsoever. That statement is 100% marketing. We'll talk about the most commonly prescribed synthetic progestin in the United States, medroxyprogesterone acetate, brand name is Provera. If you look at the actions of Provera in the body, or I'll call it MPA for medroxyprogesterone acetate. MPA mimics progesterone very well in the uterus, but progesterone has functions all throughout the body. The science has shown us that progesterone protects the breast tissue from the risk of cancer just the same as it protects the uterus from the risk of cancer. But MPA does not protect the breast. In fact, it actually increases the risk of breast cancer. So, MPA,
which is what we've just seen with the latest findings from the Women's Health Initiative.
We've seen it for 25 years. It's insanity that they keep reporting these studies and keep studying over and over again where the answer has been the same for 25 or 30 years. Any time you give a woman a synthetic progestin, period, you increase the risk. The question is, for how long and how significant is it? Bottom line is, hey, if you give her natural progesterone, you decrease the risk. Why would you give her a synthetic at all? I don't care which one is less risky when you compare the progestins. I would just rather not give one that increases the risk, period. But if you look throughout the whole body, MPA outside the uterus performs the exact opposite action as natural progesterone in every other system, in the brain, the central nervous system, the liver. So you've got this drug that may protect the uterus because it acts like progesterone in the uterus, but everywhere else in the body, it's blocking the beneficial effects of progesterone and creating the opposite effects. It increases the risk of strokes. It increases the risk of seizures. Progesterone, natural progesterone, is used to treat seizures. So what we have here is a statement that is marketing. In stating she doesn't need progesterone if she doesn't have a uterus, the manufacturers of the synthetic progestins want health practitioners not to consider what their drug does outside the uterus. Because if doctors actually looked at what MPA and the other synthetic progestins did outside the uterus in comparison to progesterone, they would never prescribe them again.
Yeah.
So it's a way to sell your drug.
Isn't that the case all along with women? I mean, the fact of the matter is women have been sold such a bill of goods about the fact that they need these hormones and must have them, even if they have no symptoms of anything going on. It was the case that all women, all menopausal women, were put on hormones, and the HRT version, mm-hmm, in the 80s and 90s. And, of course, mm-hmm, we've you know, made some changes about that. But I find women are as confused now as ever before about what to do, what kinds of hormones, do they need hormones, how much, you know, when, how often. It's still such a tricky area.
I'd have to say I don't agree with that. I don't think it's tricky. If I look at the evidence and I explain to a woman, the use of the proper bioidentical hormones in the proper amount should decrease your risk of breast cancer, positively does not increase it if done correctly. It will slow bone loss and stimulate new bone. It will help not only your symptoms of memory loss, but will help to decrease the risk of your developing dementia and Alzheimer's. This isn't a science. The number one killer of women over 50 is a cardiovascular event. We have the science that shows us that physiological amounts of estradiol, progesterone, and testosterone work synergistically to provide her the best protection that's available. There's no drug, there's no nutritional supplement, nothing else works as well to protect her from the number one killer of women over 50 as the balanced bioidentical hormones, sex steroids, at a physiological amount. Going on those facts alone, the fact that I am not causing, when you hear increased risk, and this is what is confusing, the American Heart Association says don't give a woman estrogen replacement therapy to protect her heart. They're looking at the literature that shows that conjugated equine estrogens from a horse, increase the risk of stroke and VTE. Those increased risks have never been shown with bioidentical estrogens. In fact, bioidentical estrogens, and again, you have to consider these bioidentical hormones have been used elsewhere in the world for 60 years, have never shown an increased risk of cardiovascular events. They show cardiovascular protection as is proven in a woman's body when she's 30. That's what the hormones are doing in balance. They're protecting her heart and cardiovascular system. If you replace her hormones when they're deficient with that same hormone in those same physiological amounts of a 30-year-old, you provide the same cardiovascular protection that the hormones did when she was younger. So I'd have to say no. I don't think there should be any debate. I don't think there should be confusion if we were actually looking to scientific evidence. Unfortunately, health practitioners in the United States are not exposed to this because they are exposed to the evidence that sells drugs.
Well, I actually have some thoughts about this, but let's just hold that because.
Okay.
Let me just say this. I think bioidentical hormones have taken the place of HRT, and when we think about bioidentical hormones, what's associated with bioidentical hormones is, first of all, the belief that if they're bioidentical, they're totally safe. Mm. If you take it, you're going to be protected. It's totally safe. Now, Jim, I see so many women so overdosed on estrogen that it drives me crazy. Either they're prescribing them based on blood test or they're prescribing them by some principle that has nothing to do with what's going on in that woman's body.
Exactly. The principle, when hormones were first used, HRT, conventional HRT, was used 40 or 50 years ago. It was determined that if a woman had hot flashes, she needed estrogens. Well, the science shows you that a woman starts having hot flashes when she first enters perimenopause, which can last 7 to 10 years, and estradiol not only does not drop until the very end of perimenopause, estradiol actually goes up when a woman enters perimenopause. So we've been giving women estrogen when their estrogen is higher than it was before. Makes no sense. It just increases risk. And you're right. Even if a woman does need hormones, I see it too. I see quite commonly. They are prescribed too high amount. When you go what I call super physiological, not only do you increase certain risks, such as cancer risk, but you start to lose the neuroprotective, cardioprotective benefits of the hormones. You start losing the positives. So there needs to be a line drawn in the sand. What I talk about is physiological bioidentical restoration. I'm restoring the hormone with those same bioidentical hormones to the same physiological level of a younger woman. On the other side of the line, there are a lot of people out there who think, well, I'm going to do bioidentical hormones. All these patients want it. They don't become educated properly, and they are using too much of many of the hormones in order to manage the symptoms, make the woman feel better, and not doing it correctly at all. And I know that's frustrating, isn't it?
Well, I see women at risk, you know, so the thought is that, okay, I'm on a plant-based estrogen now. I'm not on, Premarin, which is made from the urine of pregnant mares. I'm on a plant-based estrogen, and it's plant-based, so it's good. It's good. But as I like to remind women, estrogen is estrogen is estrogen, and if you are not taking the appropriate, as you say, physiological dose, it can be just as harmful as any other form of estrogen that was used in the past. So we need to be aware that we must be taking exactly what the body requires, if it requires any.
And exactly. It's just like a blood thinning medication. If you take a blood thinner and you do not need it, it can kill you. If you take the right amount of blood thinner when you need it, it saves your life.
Yes.
If you take one a day of the blood thinner, it saves your life. If you take two a day, it will kill you.
Yeah, I
need the right amount.
I have concern because I find even those, you know, anti-aging doctors are over-prescribing women. And that's how we need to have this conversation, so women can learn and be
right.
As informed as possible, so they go in and discuss this with doctors, because we want to support a woman's body in whatever way possible, bioidentical hormones being one way, and herbs and vitamins and lifestyle and homeopathics being another way, and sometimes they work together, sometimes it's, you know, we do one or the other or combinations, but we, as women, we need to have this knowledge so we can make intelligent conversations with our doctor.
Unfortunately, every time something good comes along, there's somebody that tries to take shortcuts and does a little bit wrong and messes it up, and the anti-aging's gone the same way. You can't trust somebody just because they hang a shingle out there and says, I'm an anti-aging doctor. There are two or three groups training these anti-aging doctors. One of them does it very physiological. The other's very questionable. They're using the wrong testing.
That's driving you crazy. You want to pull your hair out, isn't it?
Well, it's a challenge. I don't want to pull my hair out. I don't have that much excess hair.
Only metaphorically speaking. Let's go into the testing of hormones. I also wanted to talk about adrenals, because this to me is my little, you know, that's what I just focus on a lot, is the role of the adrenals as underpinning hormonal issues. So we'll get to that in a minute. But let's talk a bit about how the traditional blood testing has fueled a misprescribing, misdiagnosing, and what we really know about the most accurate way to assess hormones, which I think is really critical. We want to assess our hormone levels, and that includes things like your cortisol levels. I would probably add vitamin D and insulin, as you said. But let's talk about the kinds of tests and what's the test that actually is the only test you want to be using as a guidance of what your body is needing.
Well, first of all, we do have to test. It's not only we want to, we have to. And there's a couple of basic principles people need to understand. There's two goals I want to do with bioidentical restoration. I want to, of course, manage all your symptoms. I want to make you feel good again. I want to give you your memory back. I want to give you your energy back, stop the hot flashes, etc. But at the same time, more importantly, I want to provide the protective benefits on the heart, the muscles, the bones, the brain, the skin, the teeth, that the hormones had before. To do that, I have to make sure I'm physiological. That's why I have to test. I can balance a woman's estrogen and progesterone at a physiological level, she feels great. I can balance them at a super physiological level, she can still feel great, but I'm not providing the protective benefits, I'm actually increasing risk. So the only way to determine that, you can't by symptoms. Number one, people have to understand there is so much overlap with symptoms. Woman comes in, she's having mild irregularities in her cycle, a little weight gain, irritability, not sleeping. Everybody's thinking right away, okay, she's 47, she needs progesterone. Well, you could cause all the symptoms by high cortisol. You can cause all the symptoms of low testosterone in men by high cortisol or low cortisol. So it needs to be determined, because the symptoms overlap so much, which hormone or hormones are deficient or in excess. You can only do that by testing. The other thing that's very important for people to realize is that the symptoms caused by too much of a hormone mimic the symptoms caused by too little of a hormone. Too much estrogen looks like too little estrogen. Too much testosterone in a guy looks like too little testosterone. It'll usually work for a short while and then stop working and the symptoms come all back. You need to test patients to make sure you haven't given them too much hormone, which looks like too little hormone. Now, conventional testing, we'll call that, it's venous blood drawn from your arm, and then they spun it off and they do serum testing. So it's venous serum testing. I don't like to call it blood because we'll get into another type of blood testing, but conventional venous serum testing may work okay for your initial baseline if you're not supplementing any hormones. But once you're supplementing hormones, it doesn't tend to be an accurate measurement of what's getting to your tissue where the hormone works, especially if you're using the hormone topically, the most common way of using hormones now. If you're applying a hormone to the skin or mucous membrane, what is seen in the venous serum testing does not correlate at all with what's in the tissue. And those people that are trying to use that conventional testing, serum testing, to measure the hormones when they apply it topically will end up overdosing a patient usually 5 to 10 times more than they need.
And that's a
increasing
lot.
Risk. Oh, it's huge.
5 to 10 times is a huge amount.
It's huge. And it's honestly hurting patients. You get too much estrogen in the body. First of all, it will downregulate estrogen receptors and look like too little. So you're still suffering symptoms. At the same time, you're increasing binding globulins that tie up the other hormones. You're losing neuroprotection. You lose the cardiovascular protection. You're causing insulin resistance. If you get too much progesterone, again, progesterone normally helps augment the release of insulin, helps with the uptake of glucose, helps with fat metabolism, but you get too much, it inhibits insulin secretion and causes insulin resistance. It causes hypothyroidism. You lose the neuroprotective benefits. Too much progesterone depresses your immune system. You depress your immune system, you're at an increased risk of all cancers. So too much of these hormones is not a good thing. And our symptoms, because they overlap, and the different hormonal deficiencies, the symptoms overlap, and because the symptoms of too much of a hormone often look just like too little, you must measure the level. Now, if you really wanted to know, let's say you're my patient for a minute, Dr. Selman, we put some progesterone cream on you, and I want to make sure the progesterone is getting everywhere in the body it needs to go. Ideally, what I would do is come back in a month, we're going to have an anesthesiologist there, we're going to knock you out, we're going to take a biopsy of your brain, or your breast, your uterus, your bones, we're going to make sure the progesterone gets everywhere it needs to get. Not very popular with patients. You know, they're just not going to sit there and get knocked under and have you stick a biopsy needle all over them. Well, what we need is we need a test that represents the amount of hormone that's going to the different tissues in the body. What shows up in the venous serum, the way I try to explain it, the venous serum, the venous blood, its job, well, it's the sewer system of the body. Its job is to take things back to the kidney and liver to be eliminated. It deals with foreign substances or poisons, which include drugs, and excess. You don't want to measure excess hormone. If you've got enough to measure it there, that means I've got too much hormone already, right? But you can measure saliva, because when you administer a hormone, it doesn't matter which route it is. It's distributed throughout the body to different organs like the lung, the kidneys, the breast, the brain, the uterus, and a certain amount is distributed to the saliva. And once you've collected enough data and you've got the proper range, what you expect the hormone to be in to manage symptoms and produce the physiological levels, now you can give me your spit and I can compare your level to what it should be and tell you if you're high or low. But I can't do that with venous serum.
And you know, the question I always get asked is, well, why don't doctors use saliva testing?
So well, again, it's marketing. I mean, you've got these expert groups like the North American Menopause Society and ACOG and the Endocrine Society that all come out with statements that says saliva testing isn't valid. Of course, they don't cite the scientific references, because if they did, they'd find out that the scientific references are strongly in favor of saliva testing working properly, very efficiently. But if saliva testing was popular, then the manufactured hormone products would have a lot of explaining to do that they couldn't explain, because they all provide, for almost completely, they all provide super physiological amounts.
Okay, well, you know, we need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about where to go to get tested, how to do that, and we're going to be talking a bit about the adrenals. Is that okay, Jim? Can we
Super.
Talk about adrenals? And so hang on, everyone. We'll be back in just a minute.
listening to PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
Tune in to Titi's Grace Notes, where we'll be bringing you inspired voices from around the world. Creative voices from various fields and backgrounds. New sounds, new music, and new ideas with your host, Titi. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on Progressive Radio Network.
Greetings. This is Ellen Kamai, co-host of The Natural Nurse and Dr. Zig. Dr. Eugene Zamperone and I have been deeply involved with indigenous cultures and combined traditional knowledge with the latest research in natural health care. Join us each week on PRN from 1 to 2 p.m. every Monday. We'll bring you authors, professors, researchers, and activists who are committed to bringing you the latest information which you can use to ensure maximum wellness for yourself, yourselves, and your family. Tune in to Progressive Radio Network every Monday from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time or anytime by visiting the archives. This is Ellen Kamai, the Natural Nurse, hoping that you stay healthy.
This week on Wiley and Sage, Love, Lust, and Laughter, Dr. Winston Wild, author of Legacies of Love, A Heritage of Queer Bonding, and current president of the Western Region of the Society for the Scientific Study of Sexuality. His book documents several thousand years of same-sex bonding on several continents, and Dr. Wild also looks at the curious constellations of bisexuals and transgendered persons. That's this Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern on the Progressive Radio Network.
Join us, Bruce and Marianne Curtis, Fridays at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Progressive Radio Network for Truth and Freedom. We present provocative conversations with the world's most brilliant minds in the areas of holistic health, spiritual wisdom, politics, and a host of other topics. Some of our topics include the latest work in non-invasive therapy on the brain, the truth beneath the global economic meltdown, healing power of the breath, and the sublime truth beyond all religious traditions. In this age of transformation, we need to look beneath the surface appearance of things to see the underlying reality. For material that is always illuminating and often liberating, tune in to Truth and Freedom on the Progressive Radio Network Fridays at 3 p.m.
Progressive Radio Network, information for the independent mind.
Hi, everyone. We're back. This is Dr. Cheryl Silman. You're listening to What Women Must Know, and we're talking all about hormones and hormone testing today with Jim Paoletti. And we've just been having this conversation about the best way to test your hormones. Actually, it's the test that you really need to get to assess what's going on with your hormones, and that is with a saliva testing. Can you, Jim, before we leave this subject, first of all, explain exactly how it works. Well, what do people do if they have not been exposed to saliva testing? How does it all happen?
Matter, they get a kit, and it has a little tube or multiple tubes when you're testing cortisol multiple times a day. But for most of the things, you're measuring in the morning. So when the patient gets up in the morning before they have anything to eat or drink, they just rinse out their mouth and then just collect some of their saliva in this little tube. They cap it up. They mark on the side the date and time. And then they'll fill out a questionnaire, rate their symptoms, list any medications they're on, because that relates to the symptoms. And then they simply put that in a pre-marked UPS bag and ship it off to ZRT, and boom, they get their test results back in usually about 5 days.
Well, what happens if people have a hard time getting enough saliva?
Well, there's a couple things you can do there. Number one, it doesn't have to be all collected that morning. You could actually collect, well, maybe a little bit in a tube, a third of what you need, put it back in the refrigerator. The next morning at the same time, you collect some more. If it takes you 3 days to collect it, you can.
Okay.
There are also some tricks, and we go over that in our instructions, and there's videos on our website that they can view on how to do this. But there are some tricks of collecting saliva that may make it a little bit easier for them. Most people can, even those people that say at first, well, I have trouble spitting, they go through a routine and try it once, and they find out it's not so hard. But there is an alternative, and we probably should mention that. There is another good way to test your hormones that does reflect what's in the tissue. It's a capillary blood test. It's where you prick the end of your finger, like they do for, well, they did for years for diabetics,
mm-hmm.
and put a few drops of blood on this card and let it dry. And that is an alternative for people who can't spit, don't like to spit, would rather bleed from their fingertip. They like that better. Some people do. Or if you're using your hormones, if you are administering your hormones sublingually, where they're put in and allowed to dissolve under the tongue, anytime you're dissolving the hormone in the mouth like that, that will cause a local retention, and the amount that's in the saliva there is not truly representative of what's in the rest of the body because you have this local pooling. And if you are using that form, then you should go to capillary blood. But capillary blood is completely different than venous blood because the function of capillary blood is to deliver things to the tissues. It takes the oxygen, the nutrients, the neurotransmitters, and the hormones to the tissues where they work. It's like if I work for a gravel company, and my job is to weigh these trucks after they fill up with all our gravel so I know how much to bill the trucking company. Whoops, there goes a truck. I missed him. That's okay. I'll weigh him when he comes back. I can stop that truck anywhere on his way to the point of destination where he's going to dump the gravel, and I can weigh how much is gravel there. Once he's dumped the gravel, when he comes back, I may have a few pieces left at the bottom of the truck that didn't fall out, but I can no longer weigh because it's gone. It's out in the tissue. It's going to be used out there. I'm not going to see it in the truck again. So that's the difference between capillary blood and venous blood. Capillary blood is becoming more and more popular, and it rivals saliva as far as accuracy. Either one of those two is good, but... So if they're having trouble spitting, and even with some of the techniques we go over with them on how to collect saliva easier, if they really are having problems, and I have a couple of patients that are Sjögren's patient, a drying syndrome where they just cannot produce saliva.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they don't produce enough saliva to really digest properly. We'll use capillary blood for those people.
Does the blood spot testing last longer? Can you, can it survive mailing longer? Or?
Oh, yeah. This is what I love about it. You put your drops of blood in this card. You just let it air dry for 20, 30 minutes. Once it's air dry, it's so stable that people who handle that are not going to catch any infections from it. And you could actually have it sitting there for 30 days. You leave it on your kitchen table or counter, and you forget about it, and you pick it up 3.5 weeks later. I say, oh, no, it's no, stick it in the mail. It doesn't require any special mailing. You can put it in your envelope and mail it. Now, it too, comes with a pre-addressed, postage-paid shipper, but... shipping bag, but we do a lot of international capillary blood spot testing because other countries it's import and export and all that, and they hold up saliva samples for 4.5 weeks at the border, and what is this stuff? You can just take a blood spot card, put it in any old envelope, put it in with a get well card or a high card, and mail it, and just like mailing any old greeting card.
Is the price comparable?
It's the same. It doesn't matter if you're using saliva or capillary blood. It's there may be some minor differences, but the advantage of capillary blood is there are large proteins that cannot be measured in the saliva. They're too large to get in the saliva correctly to measure them,
mm-hmm.
that you can measure in capillary blood, and that includes all your thyroid functions. It includes your vitamin D. It includes your insulin, your hemoglobin A1, all your cardiometabolic risk factors, the cholesterols, the different cholesterols. Capillary blood spot has the advantage of being able to test many more things. I can test the PSA for male. I can test FSH, LH. I can test sex hormone binding globulins. For those people who the doctor needs a little bit, go a step or two further in their testing to figure out what's going on, capillary blood spot provides that. Now, there's a disadvantage of that, and in fact, if you're going to test cortisol is much more accurate than saliva, and you really need to do the cortisol 4 times a day in saliva. So what we do is we offer what we call a combination kit. It's got the tubes in there, collect your saliva. It's got the lancets and the band-aids and the little collection card to collect your blood spots. So I don't care what you want tested. I've got you covered.
Well, I just had a blood spot done with the cardiovascular panel, which we're going to be talking about in a future show. So it was a really simple test to do. It was really easy and simple. So,
well, that's how Dr. Zaba designed all this. That's why he says we need accurate, number one, accurate and reliable. But we need accurate, reliable tests that people can do at home.
Yeah.
First of all, it's inconvenient because hormones have to be tested first thing in the morning. Thyroid should be tested when you're still at rest.
Right.
How do you get to a phlebotomist's office and still be at rest? You have to get up and shower. And the whole time you're showering, getting dressed, getting phlebotomized, you're not allowed to eat. Not really convenient.
Yeah.
So this is patients can do all this at home now. And we're just adding more and more tests all the time. It's really exciting. You're going to see another half dozen new items put on the testing in the next few months.
Yeah, that's great. I know you're doing great work at ZRT Lab. Can we, I want us to talk a bit about the importance of testing your adrenals and looking at the cortisol levels. And maybe we can just kind of spend a little bit of time talking about what the adrenals do and why they're so critical for many issues going on with our health.
Oh, absolutely. The adrenals are responsible for producing several things. Most people think right away of cortisol, the hormone that gives you your energy. But cortisol does lots of stuff in the body, but primarily it's giving you your energy. You need a higher cortisol in the morning to get up and going. The adrenals also produce norepinephrine, epinephrine, which stimulate the sympathetic nervous system, so there's multiple actions there. They also are responsible for producing your DHEA almost exclusively. And then precursors to the other hormones. So if you didn't have any adrenals, a woman, for example, would be out of DHEA and short 50% of her testosterone immediately. They also produce aldosterone, and aldosterone is the major player in controlling blood volume and therefore blood pressure. So when the adrenals are stressed out and they're not functioning correctly, you got all kinds of hormones messed up. I tell people, I mean, if I had to pick the ruler of the hormones, it'd be cortisol.
Yeah.
If your cortisol is high or low, your thyroid's not optimally functioning. So none of your sex steroids are operating correctly. It just messes everything up out of whack. And if your cortisol's messed up, it's causing insulin resistance. So that's why cortisol is so critical. If it's out of whack, it throws everything else out of whack, and we can throw sex steroids, and we can get you, we can get your weight down, get you exercising, get the insulin resistance under control. We can give you thyroid nutrients and therapy to fix that, but we can't make those hormones work correctly and make you feel really good and all for the protective benefits if we don't address the adrenals.
And I mean, this is such a critical issue. I've done so many testing, and I don't know what you've seen. You've done, God knows, millions of testing by now. But I haven't found. I think I found one person of all the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people I've tested. One person who had a cortisol test that showed she was in normal levels. And it doesn't matter the age.
You found one?
I did. I found one just recently.
Wow.
Maybe the testing. Maybe I need to.
You need to save that person's record because that's a rare. Here's my feeling. You will not find a perimenopausal woman today doesn't have some issue with her adrenals. Yeah. People have to understand that the stressors that affect the cortisol production from your adrenals, your whole HPA axis, we call it, the hypothalamus pituitary adrenal axis, the stressors that affect that in so many ways are cumulative and additive over time. If you had a major stressor in your life 10 years ago, you're over that emotionally and physically now. But unless you've done something to support and regenerate the health of your adrenals, they are still suffering effects. Now, when we're young, we're 18, boy, we can handle all kinds of stress. I mean, we're able to send 18-year-olds to war, and for the most part, most of them can handle it. But those stressors have an effect on the adrenal function, the whole axis, that remain 10, 20 years later. Well, look at women today. They are expected to be a great mother. They're frowned upon if they're not a great mother. They're supposed to be a good wife. Our parents are living older, so they have to be a good daughter much longer. And now they have to bring home a good slice of the bacon. And then they hit perimenopause. I mean, first of all, we can't stress women out anymore. I don't know how we could stress women more, except maybe make her president. Then they get perimenopause. Okay, the woman's starting to lose her hair, her skin's drying up, and she's starting to wrinkle a little bit. She's gaining weight. She is worried what she's going to look like in another couple years. She can't remember where her car keys are. She can't remember a kid's first name. That person is worried about they're getting dementia and Alzheimer's. She's irritable at work. She can't multitask. She can't focus. She can't remember things. She's snapping at coworkers. She's not sleeping well. She's worried about keeping her job. You put all those stressors together, I can't imagine finding a perimenopausal woman, and I haven't seen it yet, that doesn't have some adrenal issues. The other
thing, sugar, carbs, and lack of sleep, and covering the population of the world.
But the reason we don't see any normal adrenals is because when you first stress yourself out, your cortisol goes up. Your cortisol goes up, you got a lot of energy. You're super mom. You're one of those people who gets all kinds of things done at work, home, and school. It's when the adrenals start to fatigue, when the axis is no longer responding and the cortisol starts dropping, that's when you start having the symptoms that you go see the physician about and say, hey, I'm just not feeling myself. In fact, many people will tolerate those symptoms for a while. Don't you find that you, when you ask them how long you've been having, 6 months, 8 months, a year, especially guys, ask a guy how long he's been battling this issue. Oh, about 3 years, doc. You know, patients don't run in your door as soon as they start feeling better. Because for some reason, we hope that it'll go away. I'll get better. Or it'll stop getting worse. And by that time, the adrenals are really messed up.
And the other thing, I don't know if you mentioned it, but it's really important to help people understand the connection with cortisol levels, which is your ability to deal with inflammation, which we know is the major driver behind all chronic illnesses going on right now. If your adrenals aren't strong, you can't deal with your inflammation. You age more rapidly, and then there's also that connection between your cortisol levels, ideal cortisol levels, and your gut immunity, which your major immune system is found in your mucosal lining of your digestive tract, and that gets altered.
Everything you say is true. It all messes up. Your cortisol, when it goes up normally in response to inflammation, it's an anti-inflammatory. But when you can't make enough cortisol, you've just worn out the system. It just don't have any reserves left. You can't mount that response. Your cortisol drops down more. You have a natural inflammatory state. And as you said, that's a major player in all kinds of disease states. You also are suppressing DHEA. And DHEA is responsible for optimal immune function. So now you've got inflammation and less immune function. So that if you do have, we all have DNA damage on a regular basis, and inflammation is going to increase that. And now we don't have the optimal repair mechanism. That leads to increased risk of cancer. And then when you get poor gut absorption, because you have inflammation there, first you don't absorb the nutrients that you need properly. Secondly, you start getting leaky gut. Larger proteins that shouldn't be absorbed before they're digested or start to become absorbed. And then you develop antigens, and you get autoimmune reactions. So if we could curb it all at the beginning and say, let's get this cortisol under control, we'd have less insulin resistance, less inflammation, less cancer, less autoimmune disease.
It's huge. It's big.
It's huge.
Here's the sad thing. In my experience, when people go and visit their traditional medical doctor and get their whole workup and they get their blood workup and whatever it is, their hormonal workup and their blood test, they will never ever get their adrenals tested.
Oh,
why is that? I don't understand
it. If they've read about it and they bring up the term adrenal fatigue, doctors will say there's no such thing. So I don't use the word adrenal fatigue anymore. I try not to. I use it for so many years it's hard not to. But I use hypocortisolism, harder to say, but it just means I'm not making enough cortisol. My basic thought on this, first of all, doctors go through a lot of training, and they spend a lot of money to get a good education. If I was a doctor, by the time I got out of school, residency, and the rest, I would think I have to know everything they know. That there is a no. How could I possibly have missed anything in all those years? Unfortunately, this is not part of conventional medicine training. So, first of all, I can see an automatic resistance of somebody who's taken all this training. So Second of all, again, it goes against conventional therapy because if you ask an endocrinologist to test the adrenals, they're going to say there's no reason to. You don't have the signs of a disease state yet. Well, you know what? I don't wait till you're diseased. Second of all, here's my main feeling. Most doctors will not test for something that they don't know what to do with an abnormal result. The same thing goes with thyroid. The number one cause of all thyroid disorders, as we mentioned before, is an autoimmune disease. So why isn't every doctor checking that first? Because the majority of doctors wouldn't know what to do if the result came back abnormal. How do you treat it? Doctors will not measure adrenal function because they don't know how to treat it. That wasn't part of their training.
Yeah,
it makes sense, doesn't it?
What can we say? You know, something that's so fundamental. You know, I really got into this, Jim, because when I was in my 40s, I discovered I was getting anxiety attacks in the middle of the night. I was dealing with, I was eating a high-carb gluten diet. I was getting aches and pains in my joints. I was depressed. I was anxious. I was starting to get night sweats. I mean, I had a whole bunch of things going on. My allergies got really severe, and the list goes, on and on. And that's how I came to the world of progesterone, which led me to writing my book, Hormone Heresy. But I continued to investigate because I kept asking questions. But why is this happening? Why do I have low progesterone levels? What is going on? And it led me, and it was a journey because no one had this information back then, to the discovery that this is all related to adrenal exhaustion and the role of the adrenals. And it was a revelation, and it definitely transformed my health as I addressed adrenals, and it was the root cause issue behind all these symptoms that were going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny how sometimes I too can relate to that because I too personally have been diagnosed by Dr. James Wilson, who wrote the book on it, as being adrenally fatigued. And I had a longer list of symptoms, and I wouldn't admit this was happening to me until I couldn't get out of bed for months. I could not get out of bed and get to work on time. I was miserable, depressed, apathetic, no energy, just all kinds of problems. And I think that sometimes, well, I've learned that my personal belief, the Lord has put me through a few of these things, such as that disease, so that I can learn more about it and help other people, because that's when you really learn it, when you suffer.
Indeed.
Correct. And look
Indeed.
At how many people you've helped because of what you've been through.
You know, it's true. It's true. And I'm very blessed for going through that. Not only did I find answers for myself, but these are such common issues that most people are dealing with. As you said, it's so rare to find anyone who isn't in some stage of adrenal dysfunction that it's really epidemic. You could use that word when it came to...
What did Dr. Wilson call it in his book, the 21st century syndrome?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
So, but this isn't that difficult. I mean, let's just get to the point. Okay, so you've got some of these symptoms, or you're worried you might have adrenal issues or whatever. What do you do? You go to www.zrtlab.com. Patients can order their own kit and do testing at home. They're going to need a physician to work with, so what I usually suggest, there's an option there where they can type in their zip code and they can find a practitioner, a health practitioner in their area that is familiar with ZRT testing, that knows how to test all these sex steroids, knows the value of testing the insulin, of testing the cortisol, and that can help them get regulated. It may not be a majority of the physicians in the United States, but what's happening is the group that knows how to do physiological hormone replacement is growing. There's more and more all the time. We just did a 2-day conference in Orlando this last weekend. We had 80-some practitioners there. Most of them were new to this. It's so exciting to see health practitioners are willing to take the time to learn how to do this correctly and help patients. And they came. It was in Orlando. We had people there from Maine, Utah, Duluth, Minnesota, Texas. All around the United States, so it's not just pockets here and there. Health practitioners everywhere are learning this.
Well, that's reassuring because we really need to dispel these myths to get women on and men on the right track and get the right kind of testing and address the right issues so they really can restore their health, because it's critical to this, you know, this tele-seminar series, Turn Back the Clock, is really teaching people how to regenerate our health at any age, how to get younger and healthier as we get older. And by the way, Dr. James Wilson, who you mentioned, is one of the speakers in the tele-seminar series.
So, yeah, that sounds like I was listening to the promo on that. That sounds like a great series.
Well, come on board, you know. Sign in, and we'll get you on the next one. And this is the kind of information that we really need to be sharing with people because, I see it all the time. I'm a living example of how, I mean, my health is better now than it was when I was in my 40s. And I don't have any symptoms, although my cardiovascular test did say I have a few issues that I need to take care of. My blood spot test that I just got back. But this is the kind of the challenge, and sometimes it's kind of, you can even see it as kind of fun. How do we stay on top of things and keep getting better and better?
It is a challenge. I think the answer is patience will make us. We will. You know what it's like. You have such a variety of problems in the patients with hormonal issues, but there are some that you do all your routine protocols with, and you still got issues. I think we're forced to learn because of patients. Because you are the type of practitioner, as with the other practitioners I know that are doing bioidentical hormones, that want an answer. They're not going to settle for giving a drug and covering up symptoms. Well, that forces you, and you call somebody and say, look, I'm having this problem. I say, well, you need to learn about amino acid therapy. Okay, where do I learn? That's why how I see practitioners like yourself continuing to learn. We network with one another, and when we have problem patients, we realize, oh, here's another area I got to get better in. And as you know, as a health practitioner, you got to go to a conference every 2 or 3 years at least because there's all this new stuff coming out.
And I know you've got a lot of new stuff coming out at ZRT, new tests for all sorts of things that have not been easily tested before, especially for at-home tests. And I want you to be sure to give out that website again. We're coming to the end of the show, and I absolutely want people to have the knowledge of where to go, how to get tested. And then if they do this on their own, if they don't do this through a health practitioner, can they actually get advice from you, Jim? I mean, from ZRT, or do they have to get referred to a practitioner?
Right. They need a physician that they work with personally, and unfortunately, I'd like to help everybody in the world, but there are regulations, there's clear regulations, et cetera, that says, that's not my patient. I cannot give medical advice.
So they're going to have somebody that you can send the results to, or you can talk to, and
or they can share their results with a practitioner.
Right. So you just can't.
And usually, I tell them if we can't find a physician right away in your area, we'll usually find a compounding pharmacist, and they know where the practitioners are that do bioidentical hormones.
So they'll be assisted. Okay. So give that website again.
It's www.zrtlab. That's Z as in zebra, R as in Robert, T as in Thomas, L A B as in boy. com. And there's all kinds of information on there. And the first thing that you probably jot down is our 800 number, so if they have any questions, they can always call and talk to somebody. But all the information's there on the website, how to test. There's even videos on how to do a saliva test, how to do a Kepler.
And there's lectures. There's all sorts of educational material. In fact, I know our interview on the thyroid was up on your site a while back.
Mm-hmm.
Still there.
We got links to all kinds of things. We've got a tab on there. I think they call it Thought Leaders, where Dr. Zava and the four doctors that work at CRT, myself and the head of lab, Mark Newman, we all write blogs every once in a while about this or that. And we've been told that those are probably the most interesting things on our website.
And I want to add that ZRT is a sponsor of Turn Back the Clock.
Mm-hmm.
So they've really just supported great events such as Turn Back the Clock, and are doing great work. And that's why they're our sponsors, because they excel in the field, and that's what we want. That's the only people we associate with.
Well, Dr. Zava did not open ZRT Laboratories because he dreamed of being a businessman opening a lab. He's a researcher, but he realized that, one, we need to collect data, and two, we need to educate. And I love working for the man because his philosophy is we just need to teach people. We need to teach health practitioners and patients how to do this right, and so many people are going to benefit from this. The success will come from that.
Well, it's been a pleasure as always, Jim. Well, we'll have to continue these conversations. You always have great information.
And
you're such a wealth of knowledge, and I just so appreciate the time that you give to us.
Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity. I enjoy it.
and you take care. So that's CRTLab.com, everyone. Go check it out and go learn and get educated. And while you're at it, opt in. Come and visit us for the Turn Back the Clock teleseminar series. Just go to whatwomenmustknow.com. There's a link that takes you right to the page where you can sign up. And the most powerful thing you can do is get informed with truthful information. So until next time, I want to remind you to always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.